Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday edition of the After Show podcast. We're doing a fireside chat minus the fire, and it's a chat, but it's more of a monologue because you can't really talk back to me. Thank you so much for tuning in. I just got done tweeting about the press briefing by the president. It was funny because Mika Brzezinski over at MSNBC, as well as the White House correspondent for Newsweek, complaining about having these things, saying it's not necessary. Why are we doing it? You're wasting everybody's time. And yet when he doesn't do anything, we're told, what is he hiding? He doesn't have the – he's not even taking questions from the press. You can never make some of these people happy. You cannot make these people happy ever. I've decided two things. So number one, I'm now wearing my mask because people say it looks like a turtleneck. It's not a turtleneck, see? I'm doing it because I haven't shaved for about a week, and so it's really bad. But in the stay-at-home order, I've spent pretty much all my time indoors, and I'm not going to lie, it's driving me a little bit crazy, but I have watched a lot of really bad TV. And when I say I've watched really bad TV, I mean really, 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 really spectacularly bad TV. Now, to be fair, some of the TV shows are fun in how bad they are. One show, for example, is called House Hunters International. Now, I usually only watch the House Hunters International, not the regular version, because one, I have this dream of living abroad, particularly in London or Barcelona or Amsterdam or... That's it, only those places. Although I would not go to Barcelona right now. And what's always shocking about House Hunters is you've got this couple, and they're almost always an American couple who's making the move after a long time living in the United States or Canada. They end up going to, let's say, London. And they walk in, and they have these long lists of wants. I want a four-bedroom apartment or home. I want it city center. I want to be able to walk pretty much everywhere. I want some outdoor space. And, the real estate agent's writing all the information down. And then the real estate agent goes, okay, this is a good, nice list of things. Sounds like you're looking for your dream home. What's your budget? $400 U.S. It's like, okay, hey, idiots, just stop doing that. On the other hand, then they say, okay, I don't want to go more than $3,000 a month, or my budget for a home is, $410,000, not a penny over. The first place the real estate agent takes them to is a place that's over budget. Not by like $10, but by like $500. What is going on? Why can't these stupid real estate agents on a scripted show just do what the people want them to do? And then, of course, and it's always one of them, stupid person goes in and goes, you know what, I really don't like the paint on the wall. I don't think I can live with it. Hey, dummy, paint over it. It's really that simple. Literally, paint over. It's just paint, you morons. And then I watched Love is Blind, which is actually, I kind of like the concept of the show. It's kind of like a confessional where you go in and you can't see the other person that you're talking to. Only in this case, it's a love pod. And you have to, within 5 days, decide whether or not you have met the man or woman of your dreams and you propose. Only after the proposal do you actually meet and you can see what each other looks like. And after that, you get to know each other, you spend some time alone, and then you spend some time cohabitating. And at the end of the experiment, which I want to say it was either a month or maybe 6 weeks, you go to the altar, you stand up in front of your family, including your parents, and you either say I do or I don't when asked if you're going to get married. And I'm going to provide some spoilers here, okay? So if you're looking forward to Love is Blind, understand I'm about to give some spoilers. So I'm giving you 10 seconds to leave. Okay, so there's one couple where a dude is gay and he's pretending not to be gay, and he gets all mad that the woman he proposed to is taking it all in. So they broke up. They didn't even go past the second round of episodes. Then poor Mark, who's a mama's boy from Chicago. He's a fitness dude. He's 24 years old. He falls in love with Jessica, who is 34 years old, and she's in love with somebody else. And she strings him along this entire way, and then she's all like, no, I don't want to marry you at the end of it. And he's heartbroken, this poor guy. I have thoughts. Number one, she's a horrible person. He's also an idiot for falling for it, because all the signs were there. But more distractingly, Mark looks exactly like producer Tom, my old producer. He looks almost exactly the same way. And I've been talking with Tom today, and he doesn't see it. But that means he sees it. And they're very, very similar. Because also, Tom likes older women. He is also into fitness, like Mark is. And they have the same beard. It's ridiculous how much they look exactly alike. He claims he doesn't see it, but I think that means he sees it. And by the way, he's doing fine. He lives in Austin. Every once in a while, we'll talk. He's doing good. So I hope everyone else is doing okay this weekend. Again, like I said, I'm a little, you know, going stir crazy. I don't like not being able to go out. And what was annoying, so I live in an apartment complex that has a really, really cool rooftop deck, like an amazing rooftop deck. And it was gorgeous up until now. Earlier today, it was just gorgeous. The sun, I mean, it's my favorite weather. My favorite weather is when it's cold enough where you have to wear a jacket, but sunny enough where you have to wear sunglasses. And that's what it felt like today. And I got a new book by Olin Steinhauer. I think it's called The Last Tourist. It's the third book in the Milo Weaver series. He's one of my favorite authors. And I was like, you know what? I want to go upstairs on the deck and just read. That's getting me out of the house. But they closed it. We're not idiots. We can socially distance ourselves. You'd say, hey, guys, don't have parties upstairs. Don't hang out really close upstairs. But yeah, you can go up, you know, bring a little bit of a little Clorox bleach wipe. And then you can, you know, do your thing. So there was a point during the press briefing today in which Donald Trump got the dumbest question from a reporter who I don't know his name, but I want to play for you the audio and then we'll talk about it.
Do we know anyone can spread the disease? Right, unwittingly.
Right.
So why even have a few businesses open? Why not just shut everything down? There are grocery stores that are open, fast food places. Why even take a little chance?
Hey, idiot, whoever you are. It's because people need to eat, you dummy. Why are we keeping the grocery stores open and restaurants so people can eat? You do know that, right? Most people don't have 14 days worth of food stocked in their fridge and their cupboards, right? You big dummy. I'm trying to figure out who this reporter is. I've got it posted up on our Twitter feed, twitter.com/JasonRants. I mean, what a stupid question. Just that was the dumbest question. There were bad faith questions. There's no doubt whatsoever. But that was just the dumbest question I think I heard throughout the entirety of the – it was less than – I think it was like 90 minutes worth of that. The time is just going crazy. Or maybe – I don't even know if it was a full – I don't know if it was a full 90. It might have been a little bit under 90 minutes. But what a stupid question. And then I started to think of, what question would you ask if they called on you? And I was all like, you know what? I probably have a stupid question too. I never feel the need when I'm in these reporting situations. I don't really feel the need to scream out a question in front of other people for a number of reasons. Most of all, if I have a question, it's because I'm likely working on something very specific that I don't think other people are working on. And I don't want to tip them off as to what the story is that I'm working on. Why don't you waste your, you know, do your own, don't take my time up and then steal my stuff. And then number two, and this is probably the bigger reason why I wouldn't want to ask a question in a press briefing like that. They're going to judge me. What if I had, you know, everyone right now is judging that stupid reporter. Like, really? You ask why the grocery stores and food is being allowed to, why are we allowed to eat during this coronavirus stay-at-home order? So I feel like people would judge me, and I don't like that judgmental stuff. I say that knowing that I'm on Facebook Live having not shaved for over a week. And what's particularly problematic in my view, with not shaving for a week. Although you can't see any grays in my hair, which when I have a gray, I pluck it because my hair is so dark that a gray is very striking. I got a lot of gray beard. My beard is like a mix of gray and black. And that makes me feel uncomfortable because it says I'm old and I'm stressed out with stuff. And if you're wondering what I could possibly be stressed out of, it's because I'm staying in my house and I have very little contact with other human beings. All my contact so far, with the exception of this, although this actually is not an exception, has been like this. Texting, digitally stuff, tweeting at people, or direct messaging. Like, that's all. I was talking with my friend Dan, who right now is in Mexico, and I'm assuming he's going to be stuck there forever, and I told him that, and he doesn't seem to mind. But we're like, typing on Facebook to each other. I haven't seen people, and I think I'm going crazy. So, yeah. Oh, I've got a story that's going to be out at 8 o'clock tonight on ktth.com. I need everyone to go to it and then post it once it's actually up. Read it, obviously, but then post it on your Facebook wall and your Twitter feed. The West Precinct of Seattle has seen an 87% increase in burglaries. 87. Now, the West Precinct is including downtown Seattle, which is where the SPD believes the majority of those burglaries are happening. This at a time where the mayor of Seattle is saying, oh, well, you know, crime is about to stay. It's pretty static. And Chief Carmen Best told me to check my facts after I posted a link to a story about how businesses are having to board up some of their windows because of the prolific criminals who are breaking in. So 87%. In the East Precinct, that includes Capitol Hill, it's 17%. All across the city of Seattle, 21% increase in burglaries. Now, not every single precinct is up. In fact, when you look in the North District, it's -3. If you look in the South District, it's -7. And then if you look in the Southwest, it's -19. So that's good. But you got an 87% increase in West Precinct. That's bad. And you know why it's happening? Two reasons. Number one, you've got people not showing up to work. You've got offices closed down. And when you have offices closed down and you have nobody wandering around, that means there's no witnesses to call 911 when you're breaking into a business. Number two, what's happening? We have prolific offenders who are being released, not spending any meaningful time behind prison. You've got literal prisoners being released from King County jails all over the concerns over the coronavirus. And so we're now basically setting up these businesses to be burglarized. And that's a shame. So that story is going to be up. It's an original that other people will write in a week and pretend that they wrote it for the first time. I'm looking at you, KOW. I'm looking at you, King 5. I'm looking at you, Seattle Times. I'm looking at you, everybody. I don't know. I'm sorry. So I do have that. It'll be up at ktth.com at 8 p.m. tonight. So please remember to head on over there. It's actually scheduled for 8:01. Head on over there, get an early peek at the story, and then please tweet it, Facebook it, put it out everywhere, because unless we shine a giant spotlight on this, I don't think it's going to get any better. And that's a concern I have. Now, the good news is, obviously, the cops are aware of this. And now that I've shined a spotlight on it, believe me, they're going to come up with a plan to tackle this. And that's really why I'm doing what I do. If I don't report this, no one else will. They don't have the sources that I do within the SPD. And these are the types of stories that get buried. And that's a problem if you're a business owner in downtown Seattle who wants to come out of the stay-at-home order, getting right back to business as soon as possible, so you can come get back and get that revenue coming back into the business, so you can rehire people, so you can pay the bills that you maybe owe. You want to get back to work as quickly as humanly possible. What gets in the way of that? Having to fix all of the windows that were broken. Replacing some of the products that were stolen. Paint over the graffiti that's on your door, that's on your window, that's on your property. That gets in the way. So we shine a giant spotlight on this issue for the sole purpose of getting the city to take this more seriously. Cops are taking this seriously, but they've got a staffing issue. They've got a staffing problem. The same staffing problem that existed before the coronavirus is still there. One could argue it's worse because you've got a lot of officers who are potentially being self-quarantined, even though the city doesn't provide that information very easily. That's a problem. So let's fix it. That's what I have to say. And that's the bottom line. I'm kind of rambling. I'm rambling because I'm just in that mood. I'm just, every once in a while, you just get into a rambling mood. And I think it's mostly because I haven't talked to anyone, right? And, you know, it's easy when you've got a radio show for 3 hours a day where you know that you can talk for 3 hours, so you don't feel the need to talk all day otherwise. But when you've cut out pretty much all face-to-face interactions with people and you know you can't really go anywhere even if you wanted to, you kind of get that urge to chat. That's all I got. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me on this Sunday night. Don't forget, please follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants. If you haven't already gone there, please go. If you're listening to this on the podcast, please give me a 5-star review on the podcast page of your choice. So if you're getting this on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star written review. And if you do it on Stitcher or Google Play, leave your review there. Next week, I will read some of the reviews. So maybe your review will get read on this podcast and or Facebook Live. Thank you, guys. I will see everyone tomorrow. Bye-bye.